Today we celebrate the fourth Sunday of Advent. And so, Tuesday evening, we officially begin our Christmas Eve celebration. But right now, our Advent wreath, all the candles are fully lit. We can see from the size of the candles the progression over the weeks. And all of this symbolizes our own preparation this Advent. Hopefully, during the course of these three and somewhat weeks, we have taken that time to prepare so that our faith has been rekindled in our hearts. Therefore, our gospel passage, given that we're ready for Christmas, focuses on that basic, core, fundamental mystery of our faith, the Incarnation. The Father so loved us that He gave us His only Son, Jesus Christ, true God, second person of the Holy Trinity, consubstantial with the Father, entered this world. True God, becoming also true man, through Mary, a virgin, free of all sin, even original sin, who had conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so, rightly, we can say, as St. John recorded, the Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us to perfectly reveal God's truth and God's love to us. As we hear the prophet Isaiah speak, not only in our first passage from Isaiah, but even recorded in the Gospel of Matthew, that the virgin shall bear and conceive and bear a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel. God is with us. What a beautiful mystery. Now, today, our gospel passage, though, is taken from the Gospel of Matthew. If we went to St. Luke's Gospel, we have that very familiar scene where the Archangel Gabriel appears to our Blessed Mother, tells her about that she has been chosen and she'll conceive by the Holy Spirit. But we have Matthew's Gospel. And who is prominent in this gospel passage? St. Joseph. Sometimes we forget about St. Joseph. For example, think of Christmas cards. I like sending out Christmas cards. To me, it's part of a spiritual preparation because some of those cards go to people that I've known for many years, from other parishes, for instance, or even a few friends from college. They go to people that I might not really contact or communicate with throughout the rest of the year. So it's a good spiritual preparation. I always emphasize sending a card that has the Blessed Mother, Saint Joseph, and baby Jesus. But have you ever noticed from Christmas cards how many times Saint Joseph is forgotten? We might see our Blessed Mother and baby Jesus, or Blessed Mother, baby Jesus, and animals, Blessed Mother, baby Jesus, and shepherds, Blessed Mother, baby Jesus, and kings, but where's poor Saint Joseph? Or I've even received some cards that are of great masterpieces of art, like Raphael and so on, but they crop them so that you know St. Joseph is there, but his head's cut off. It's like, poor St. Joseph. Or you see the card where St. Joseph is there, but he's this old, you know, humped over old man, bald, gray-haired, and so on. He looks like he's going to crash into the crib. That's not St. Joseph. When we think of St. Joseph, we must think of a very good, strong man. Archbishop Fulton Sheen, in his book, The World's First Love, which was primarily about our Blessed Mother, devoted a whole chapter on St. Joseph. And Archbishop Sheen said this, Joseph was probably a young man, strong, virile, athletic, handsome, chaste, and disciplined, the kind of man one sees working at a carpenter's bench. Instead of being a man incapable of loving, he must have been on fire with love. Young girls in those days, like Mary, often took vows to love God uniquely. And so did young men, of whom Joseph was one so preeminent as to be called the just. Instead of then of being dried fruit to be served on the table of the king, he was rather a blossom filled with promise and power. He was not in the evening of life, but in its morning, bubbling over with energy, strength, and controlled passion. What a great description. So given that, with that image in mind, let's think about why St. Joseph is highlighted in the Gospel of Matthew and why he's so essential to our Christmas celebration. First of all, the name Joseph means, may God add posterity. So we see Joseph is this link to that whole plan of salvation that's beginning to unfold. It is through the grace of Christ, through his passion, death, and resurrection, that we will be God's posterity. Will be the children of God through baptism. But Joseph, too, is of the house in the lineage of Abraham and David. So he's bringing to a close that old covenant made with Abraham and setting the stage for the new covenant that Christ will make through the blood of his cross. He brings to a close that Old Testament idea of the kingdom of God, King David's physical kingdom, the promised land, and sets the stage for a spiritual kingdom of God, represented in the church, and also the promised land, heaven. The gates will be opened at the time of the resurrection. So Saint Joseph is this linkage, setting the way for what's going to happen through the work of our Lord. But as Saint Matthew describes him, he is righteous. He is just. He is right with God. His life reflected God's life. He's filled with the love and the goodness of God. So for that reason, we can better understand what's happening in the gospel. Mary and Joseph are betrothed. Now, in Jewish society, as it is even today among good Orthodox Jews, marriage is a two-step process. It begins with the official betrothal, which is called the Kiddushin. So the rabbi blesses this couple, they make their contract of marriage known, they take vows, and they're considered married. We would call it engaged, but they considered it married. The wife, the bride, would still live with her parents for several months, maybe even a year, and then the time would come when the rabbi and the groom would process to the house of the wife's family. And there would be the nuasim. And there the groom would take his bride back with him to his house. There they would live together. They would consummate the marriage. So, Joseph and Mary are legally married, betrothed. Joseph finds out, the gospel reads, that Mary's conceived by the Holy Spirit. Imagine, the poor man must have been confused. What is going on here? He must have wondered, how could this have happened? Maybe Mary had told him. And then Joseph would have thought, well, if this is the case, then I can't be married to her. I have to step aside. I can't interfere with God's plan. Who am I? Maybe Joseph is thinking, I'm not holy enough to be part of this. So he's going to break that contract of marriage. That's righteous. That's what the Torah said to do. And so Joseph could have, in one sense of the Torah, done this publicly, but then that would put Mary to shame, even maybe have her stoned to death for adultery. Who's going to believe her, after all, conceiving by the Holy Spirit? But instead, he's going to do it quietly. Just let her go and let God's plan unfold. But then he has the dream, and the angel says, Joseph, Mary's conceived by the Holy Spirit. You're going to take her as your wife, and you're going to be the foster father of our Lord. Now imagine, what if you had a dream like that? We'd probably wake up and say, oh, what a dream. No more eggnog before bed. You know. But Joseph, being right with God, takes Mary as his wife. He takes Jesus as his own. And the story goes on from there. Well, we can go to Christmas. Jesus is born, of course. But the key is, this righteous man continues to be the good father. 8 days after the birth of our Lord, he is the one who presents Jesus to the rabbi for circumcision, that sign of the covenant. Joseph gives Jesus his name, legally in Jewish society, that name that means Yahweh saves. Joseph is the one that holds Jesus when his blood is being spilled for the first time at that moment. The first time signifying the new covenant that he'll make through the cross. So Joseph is there. But then we could go on. Can't we imagine Joseph teaching Jesus carpentry? Or as the good Jewish father teaching him how to read the Torah? That was his job. But did not our Lord also learn compassion from Joseph when he saw him make maybe a set of crutches or a primitive kind of wheelchair? Did he not learn how husbands and wives should treat each other as he saw Mary and Joseph? Did our Lord not see how Joseph had to live in tough circumstances and yet be righteous because they were under the governance of Rome and the corrupt Herodian dynasty? Oh, and we could go on. But Saint Joseph, therefore, is essential. Essential to our Christmas story and essential to us. So what does he teach us these last few, really, hours before Christmas? The first lesson Saint Joseph would teach us is simplify our lives. How complicated our lives can be. And oftentimes it's our own doing. We complicate them. We overprogram. We overschedule. We think we have to do everything that everybody else does. No. Saint Joseph did first of all what was right in the eyes of God. God came first, number one priority. And then his family, Mary and Jesus. And after that, everything else. That's what we need to do. We need to keep the priorities straight. Even during this Christmas time of celebration, think how complicated our lives can become because we allow them to be. Simplify your life. Because it's then when you can really have the joyful, faith-filled celebration. Secondly, Joseph teaches us that real love is service. Love isn't going to be bought at a store and put into a box. Love isn't going to just be words. Love has to be shown in our actions. The act of service. This is important for you children. When you think about Christmas, you might be thinking about the presents and so on that may be coming. But what about what you already have? Think of what your parents have already given you. You have a home, your education, you have clothes, food, security in life. You have the gift of faith. You're here right now. Think of all that your parents have already given you out of love. What more could you really ask for when you think about that? But so, children, what are you going to give your parents? Maybe the best gift that you can give is your own love, trying to be the better child, trying to make the better family through your own acts of cheerful, emphasis, cheerful service. And then lastly, Saint Joseph teaches us silence, how important that is. I would encourage you sometime today or the next couple of days before Christmas, wherever your manger scene is, go there, sit down, turn out the lights, of course, lights on the tree, lights in maybe the manger, and just look at the scene. Dream, like Saint Joseph did. Imagine yourself in that situation, that little manger scene. Imagine the love that is there. And that's the love that you want to bring to your family. But we also need to remember that while Isaiah said, Emmanuel, God is with us, will be present, he is with us. And that's so important to remember at Christmas. God is with us. Not just with us in the wonderful happy times. He's with us when we're going through the struggles, the times of suffering or sorrow, failure, setback, whatever it may be, God is with us. That's the beauty of Christmas. Not to know just a day, a celebration, but to know God is with us. The love of God became incarnate. He is at our side like the Good Shepherd. He is present in our hearts if we just open our hearts to him. Ponder that manger scene. And think about the love that has been given to us, but a love that is supposed to be present to us. That's the great present of Christmas. And so, my brothers and sisters, Saint Joseph is essential. Take his example to heart, and especially think about, how can I simplify my life, better serve others, God and those who are entrusted to my care? And how can I better bring silence into my own life so I can spend time with the Lord? If we do that, then we'll truly know the love we celebrate this Christmas. May God bless you.